Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome to it, the Monday edition, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery, Chris Schmidt, Danny Burke. It's rocking it. We are ready to go. A scrimmage to talk about, intangibles to touch on, in the name of chemistry, leadership, the storylines that happen before kickoff, some NFL thoughts. And we are loaded up. Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore. Blackshirt Jay will chime in his thoughts on camp thus far and communication and leadership in 15 minutes. Also, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about Dennis Dodd's latest story from CBS Sports. And this is, we talked a little bit about Athlon and the anonymous coaches either praising or bashing members of the Big Ten. Well, Dennis reached out, and I think we'll catch up with him tomorrow. Dennis reached out and got some dirt on the SEC and what's real, what's imagined, and just, hey, my advice to you, even if you're visiting a school in the SEC, if it's a big game and the home team wins, I don't care what it costs you. Buy a zip up that the players wear and then walk through the parking lot about 2 hours after the game while tailgaters are blasted because they'll think you're a player. Fake it till you make it and get that $100 handshake because apparently it happens all the time in the SEC. So we'll talk about cheating in college football. Next hour, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie, legendary coach, coordinator. We will spend a few minutes with him, get his thoughts on Coach Osborne, and just a tremendous documentary last night on NET. That was incredible to watch. Kevin Kugler's fantastic, Coach Osborne. It was just a treasure to watch. And just soak in some college football. Recruiting, Greg Smith all over it. Nebraska commit number 11 for the 2018 class. Greg Smith will join us before he goes to see Bruno Mars or before Bruno goes to see Greg Smith. I don't know what the order is, but we'll talk to Greg about Cam Brown. And just for good measure, because I am a closet Dolphins fan, we'll get to hear from Jay Cutler, because why not? Your Monday's almost over. Hearing him can't make it any better or worse. It just is, kind of like his career. Moments of greatness, moments of what is that? It is Cutler. So that's what we're locked in for. You can join us today on Hail Varsity, 466-3776, 466-3776, or toll-free across the Hail Varsity Radio Network, 1-800-825-5865. Can tap the line, Schillingbridge, Cork, and Tap House. Also on Twitter, at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt_radio. Can also email the show, chris@hailvarsity.com. So let's start with recruiting, and then we'll get to some chemistry discussion points. A nice story by Sam McEwen. Sam's talented. On some vocal leadership that is happening that's different this year. We'll get to that here in the first 15 minutes. But let's talk about Cam Brown. And I don't know how locked in you are in recruiting. Are you kind of a recruiting head? And if you are, that's fine. I get it. And if you're just kind of casual about it, let me know what they do on the field after 2 years. Totally get that too. Our job, my job, HailVarsity.com, we're going to give you great recruiting coverage. We're going to give you some analysis on the player. We're going to kind of apply what it means. That's how it'll work. And that's why you subscribe. So my initial thought here with Cam Brown, and this goes back to his decommitment, because he originally committed And then backed out, went to Ohio State, decommitted after his Ohio State visit. And maybe it was he decommitted before the Ohio State visit. Point is he said, okay, Nebraska, I want to come play for you. Then he said, I'm going to open my commitment up, and now he's back. His video was pretty good with the paintball thing. I liked it. And then, you know, I never left you is the gist of it. So if I'm a four-star prospect, St. Louis is just crawling with Division I talent for 2018, for 2019, and Nebraska's trying to plant their flag down there. Cameron Babb is a high-profile wide receiver that is teammates with Cameron Brown, who Nebraska just got to verbal today. Daniel Carson, also a defensive end out of the state of Missouri, out of St. Louis. I mean, those are all guys Nebraska wants as part of 18, okay? So Cameron Brown does the video, says what's up to Nebraska. Maybe to be fair to Nebraska, knowing that receiver is a high, high priority this 18 cycle, maybe he said, look, I still love you. I want to go to Nebraska. But after Ohio State, I just want to open it up. And truth be told, I think Ohio State was, they did Cameron Brown a disservice. I think they really liked him. I think they like other dudes better. So at the time of Brown's decommitment, he thought that Ohio State had a spot for him. And I think that might have been a maybe by Ohio State to Cameron Brown. So long and short of it is, after kind of sniffing around, Cameron Brown's like, you know what, this is the place for me. What do you get? You get elite speed. He's a guy at 6 foot, 170 pounds. And the Chicago Nike football opening, he ran a 4.5 laser timed 40. You can imagine me running. Maybe you won't want to. Point is, his 4.5 is incredible. That is good. Nebraska has a trio of talented wide receivers. You have Mario. You now have Cam Brown. And you have Joshua Moore. With one more to go, and Nebraska can be very, do I say picky? I'll say selective with where they go at wide receiver. And that's completely fine. There's a section of you that do love recruiting that are interested in the defensive and offensive line. Talk to me about building and bulking that up. Get it. Totally get it. But the skill guys are kind of fun. They're a lot of fun, especially if they get against a secondary that's bad in the open field. Why not go PlayStation 4 college football before they stopped making it on an opponent? I say why not? So Nebraska loading up. That's your rundown. Can log on HailVarsity.com. 30-day free trial offer when you sign up now. And catch Greg Smith's work on the premium content on Cameron Brown. We'll talk to Greg in about an hour. Okay, so what are the storylines that always comes out in preseason camp? You talk about the young guys. You talk about how hard the off seasons were. You get into the leadership. And along with leadership, you have chemistry. And I want you to ask yourself, as a Nebraska fan, did you worry about chemistry with the team last year? Did you worry about chemistry with the team when Riley took over? And truth be told, you had guys that were recruited by one staff, ended up finishing their career for another staff, and it wasn't personal against the head coach. I don't think that's the case at all. I think there was maybe some disconnect with former coordinators or position coaches, which made it harder to drive your point through. And then you just have a couple of fish, not fishy, but funny things that happen. Your captain, Nathan Gary's suspended twice. And your your junior captain at quarterback is not elected captain by his peers. So that's two guys in the program that are vital to you. You won a lot of ball games with both of those guys. And those are the example setters, the playmakers, and presumably the difference makers on the field. Well, they are gone. You have a new voice. You have a younger voice. You have an instance where this thing isn't a dictatorship anymore. It's a democracy where everyone's opinion can be heard depending on, I think, you're standing with the team. There's value attached to it. And Riley was asked a little bit about culture, leadership, and chemistry. And we'll talk to Coach McBride about that in about an hour, a little less than an hour, just chemistry. Because you think about what you want Nebraska football to be, and that's to be a conference champion, a New Year's Day champ, a national champ. You want Nebraska to be great because you love Nebraska football. And the things that were so different, and this was very prevalent with Coach Osborne's documentary last night on NET, it was chemistry. That was the thing that, for lack of a better term, put you over the goal line. Was guys liked each other. Guys wanted to play for each other. And that's easier said than done when you got a team full of and a group of 120 dudes. Not everyone's going to be down. But for the most part, guys had team first in mind. And I don't know if that was the instance maybe the last couple of years culturally here, walking into it if you're Coach Riley. And you just got to kind of make do with what you have, attitude-wise, until you warm up and you get buy-in or you don't. Buy-in is something that seems to be more real this year. But here is Coach Riley after practice, the topic of chemistry and culture, touched on cut nine here, Danny. And long-term goals and ownership from a coach's perspective, what really drives the bus to teams that turn that corner to be champions?
I think when teams look at leaders, I think that in one thing, and it's not always right on, but there's no doubt that the talent is respected. That can cloud that real leadership deal sometimes. But with this group, I don't have to worry about anybody being misguided in that way, because when your good players are doing the right thing and working real at the highest level, that's what you have to have. As a matter of fact, that's my goal in the program. For those guys that have been around, been in the program, as we develop through the years, those guys are the main teachers, you know, that I can just say, you follow Chris Weber around for the day, you'll know how to do this thing right.
So you want guys in the program, and Riley's so right on with this when it comes to what are the young guys seeing and watching? Who are they mimicking? Who are they following? Who are they trying to be like? And if you have, I don't want to say bad leaders, but guys that maybe have the do as I say, not as I do type mantra, then that's hard. And Chris Weber's a guy that has just kept grinding. He grew up wanting to play Nebraska football. He's your example. And the thing that's so true is talent doesn't always equal leadership. You want it to. Sometimes it meshes. A lot of times it doesn't. Your most talented guy isn't necessarily your best leader. But does your most talented guy have someone he looks up to or follows when it comes to that chemistry creation? More from Coach Riley, a guy that's bouncing back, saying all the right things and trying to kind of pay it forward the right way. Cut eight, Stanley Morgan. And Riley goes into further detail, went into detail about Stanley's role. And I was interested to hear where, you know, how's Stanley viewed? Guy's an awesome talent, but is he a guy that the guys are going to follow and respect despite his off-the-field stuff?
Stanley, you know why he is that everybody knows he'll do anything he can. He's somewhat of a warrior. He'll do everything he can to make a play, win the game. He's really competitive, and preparation has always been good. So I think people respect that.
So they see what he does on the field. They know he wants to win, and he's willing to kind of sell out, put his body on the line for that. That is a couple of thoughts. We'll have more thoughts from Coach Riley after the scrimmage. The long and short version of the scrimmage, 86 plays. Top defense did okay per Riley. The offense busted some runs, which is encouraging to hear. We'll get into cheating in college football in about 15 minutes. What's really going on? Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFLer. Jay Moore will join us next to get his thoughts on chemistry and leadership and that locker room culture that is so important. Less than an hour, Charlie McBride going to be with us. And then Greg Smith of Hale Varsity, his thoughts on Cam Brown and commit number 11 for Nebraska. 7 out of 10, that's too many. The portion of unbuckled vehicle occupants killed on Nebraska roads last year. Had they been using their seatbelts at a minimum, 69 alive today. Save more lives. And to do so, law enforcement agencies on the lookout. Click it or ticket. A reminder to you and a message from the Nebraska Department of Roads and Highway Safety Office. Great to be with you on a Monday as Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com off and running. Jay Moore's up next, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Allstate, two-year starter, and rush in for the Big Red, an NFL vet.
Is Dudeness or Duder or, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
It's Blackshirt Jay Moore with Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We'll get further into recruiting. We welcome in Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore at JayMoore44 with this bird. Happy Monday. How are you?
Happy Monday to you as well, Paul. It's good. Just working away on a Monday, staying plenty busy. Wish I was outside golfing in this wonderful weather, but fortunately there's a little too much work to get done today.
No, absolutely, and I wanted to spend a little bit of time and talk with you about the work Nebraska put in this weekend, a Saturday scrimmage, and it was closed. So maybe you know a guy who knows a guy that saw it, maybe not, but 86 plays, and, you know, Riley was pretty happy with the number ones on defense, and there wasn't consistency, but it sounds like the run game had a couple of a nice bust is the wrong word, breaks and plays, which is good. But you heard the audio and comment from Riley in post-practice, specifically when it comes to the goal of his program, and that is he's the coach, it's his team, but really he wants it to be the players' team and that transfer of ownership. Kind of speak to that if you could, because your senior year, your group of guys – I think he had a pretty good wrangle on leadership and kind of that example that needed to be set.
Yeah, it's always, after a while, in my opinion, a coach can only say so much and do so much. It kind of falls on deaf ears sometimes. And, it's just like having your mom or dad every time, eat your vegetables or clean your plate. You're just like, yeah, you said it, 100 times. I get it. Still not going to do it. It's one of those deals. But when it comes from, a friend, a peer, a guy that's, a lot of times you might not expect it from us. Sometimes it can hit deeper. I think once you kind of install a culture that it doesn't have to be, in my opinion, it doesn't have to be super rah-rah. It doesn't have to be, dog cussing anyone out. It doesn't have to be, really boisterous. It's just you show up, you're humble about what you do. You show up and you do your job, and you do it to the best of your capability. You do it 100%. You don't need to go out there and tell anyone how, a lot of times by example, it works just fine. In my case, a lot of the teams I've been on, it was more by example. It was, you saw how guys practiced. You saw how guys prepared. You saw how certain guys did things. Watch film. What about going to school? Then you see those same guys become first round, second round, third round NFL draft picks, and you're like, man, that looks pretty cool. I want my name called on, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, whenever the draft goes down. I'm going to do exactly like he did. I'm going to do exactly what Chris Kelce did. I'm going to do exactly like what Barrett Root did. I'm going to do exactly what Trevor Johnson did. It's just the guys that come before you and the guys that you just see it. They weren't necessarily, you know, boisterous leaders at all, but they worked their tail off. They showed up on time. They made no excuses. If it was a bad play, it was their fault. If they made a great play, they a lot of times give a credit to someone else. But they worked hard, and they went about their business. And you can kind of get that going, and you see everyone else that, you know, that's the standard. You know, those certain guys, those good players start setting that certain standard. It's really easy to start repeating that from other guys because they see the results. They see what they're able to get. Like, man, I want those same results. I'm willing to put that same work that Chris or Barrett was able to put in because I want to be just like them and have a great NFL career and be a good student and be a great player at Nebraska. So I think that's kind of what Riley's kind of talking about is when your great players are able to do, you know, take care of their business on and off the field, it becomes infectious amongst the team, and you really can mature in a really great way.
Jay Moore's with us, Hail Varsity Radio at JMoore44. You just nailed it, and that's the key to get those great players to have that maturity and leadership and kind of example setting, right? Now, The mistake that sometimes happens in programs is the assumption that the talent equals leadership. That's not always the case, is it?
Not necessarily. I mean, you can have an extremely talented player but on the field, but that same player could, you know, be skipping class every week. Could be skipping workouts, could be, you know, spend a little bit too much time down in O Street during the week. You know, there's certain things, you know, this player's producing results, but, you know, he's not keeping that team first mentality. It's kind of about him. There can be really good, you know, a lot of good players that I think all great players are selfish in one way because they look out for what's best for them first. You know, a lot of times, you know, if I want to, you know, treat myself right, do things right for myself the first way, obviously it's going to put the team in a great position as well. But it's those guys that really kind of look at it differently. I'm gonna do this because, you know, I'm a grown man and I can do this. I'm blah blah blah. And you know, they're out late. They're not going to class. They're down on O Street too much. They might be, they're not doing the necessary things. And that can get, you know, that can cloud things up as well too. Because a lot of times a lot of people will see that as well and be like, man, that guy's still making plays on Saturday. And he's skipping class. He's skipping workouts. You know, he just can't. That's bad. That is bad. That's bad for the program. That you do not want that. You can't have that because that again, that becomes younger players see that, and you know the younger players they're kind of like clay. You know, you can kind of mold them much way you want it, and if they start seeing that and start learning the wrong way to do things, man, that can be bad on them for the rest of their career at Nebraska. So without a doubt, you have a good player that's not handling his business and is putting himself first. And doing the wrong things that can lead to some disastrous situations among your football team.
Well, think about how long it takes to build up and have the right guys in leadership positions that have talent versus how quickly it can unravel if one of your standouts and your leaders is just kind of out to lunch, figuratively and literally. When it comes to doing their job on and off the field, that's a tricky dynamic. Gerald Foster was talking about this Thursday, and it's gotten a little bit of play in the media about communication. And I wanted your thoughts about guys and roles on the team and the vocal part. And Foster, and I think Sam McEwen wrote about it today, touched on how you have younger guys on the team feel okay, feel that their opinion, their voice can be and will be heard. What's your reaction to that? Just based on the feedback that I've had around, you know, former Nebraska players. You kind of waited your turn till it was your junior or senior year to pipe up. How do you react to that, Jay, with maybe a different outlook age-wise when it comes to input on the team?
Yeah, it's very interesting to me. You know, it's kind of one of those, in my opinion, my feelings on it, it's like, okay, we'll listen, but we're not necessarily going to act on it. You know, your opinion, you matter. Don't get me wrong, you do matter. But if, you know, it's, again, you're young. You're inexperienced. You don't know exactly how it is. You haven't been, you know, you haven't been through a lot. You know, we'll listen, but it doesn't mean we're going to necessarily act on it or do anything about it. I think the biggest thing is just having respect for everyone. You respectfully listen. If a young player is like, hey, I don't like the way what you said to me, sure, I can respect that. I'll listen. I can change it, but it's, you know, it's not, oh, we're going to change everything that we do just because a 18 or 19-year-old freshman didn't like how we do something. Well, sometimes they need to be changed as well. So change is good sometimes, you know. So it's kind of, sometimes it's, in my opinion, you know, it's tough. You know, it's, you know what, you don't like it, we'll listen to it, but you know what, this is how we do things, in my opinion. But let's, you know, but you just got to be respectful, and you know, don't be a jerk about it. But you know, you're respectful to their opinion, you listen to it, but sometimes things happen for a reason, and if they don't like it, you know, they need to change, so, and eventually it'll make them better as well. So it's interesting, but as long as everyone's respectful to everyone else, things usually go down fine.
Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore with us, Hail Varsity Radio at JayMoore44. Jay, a thought on Nebraska and Adidas extending their deal potentially to 11 years. You know Adidas well. Mm-hmm. You know the product. You know how popular it is between the ages of 14 and 22. What's your reaction to this potential deal?
Yeah, that's a surprise. I mean, let's be honest. Nebraska was kind of Adidas's first big-time school. You know, everyone's kind of back, you know, before Nebraska was just kind of looked at as a soccer brand, you know, really. And they were kind of starting to get in some basketball set up, and, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s. But this was really their first big school. And I think those numbers show it and represent it. You know, they I know Adidas has lost some big-time schools in the last few years. You know, they lose UCLA, they lose Michigan, they lose Notre Dame. So there's some extra funds there that they can go and say, hey, Nebraska, we've had a relationship for, what, 12 years now? Oh, excuse me, longer than that.
21.
Now, so it's like, yeah, it says 95. So let's keep this going. Let's continue this. We want to invest, you know, everything that we have with you guys, because you were there with us from the beginning, and it's evolved into what it is now. I mean, listen, it's a great thing. You know, would it be kind of fun to see them maybe go somewhere else? Yeah, but let's, you know, if it's not broke, you know, let's not fix anything. It's the relationship has been there. I know that money up there, whether it's in products, whether it's from the university, so many great things you can do with that money to infuse into facilities, to do, you know, for coaching, you know, purposes. I know coaches get a certain amount from the deals as well. So there's a lot of fun things. It's great to see. And I know what Adidas is doing, and the brand is continuing to grow. Their stock option is going through the roof right now, while Nike and Under Armour have slowly fallen. So it's going to be fun to see when this potentially gets done and signed, what the future holds, obviously, and what else can be done down the future with Nebraska. As other schools are kind of have dropped off to go with Nike and Under Armour, and Nebraska's still there and gets a lot of the focus, it's going to be really fun to see.
Jay, we'll hopefully catch up this week. I will get you and Chewy on it with Junior and his golf swing stat, okay? Thanks for a few minutes today.
Yep, you got it. Thanks, man.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Chris Schmidt back with you. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery, Danny Burke. Behind the glass, Mr. Blackshirt Charlie McBride, 25 minutes away. Greg Smith of Hale Varsity on Cam Brown and recruiting. Next hour, we will get into Jay Cutler with the Dolphins. Again, I don't say my Dolphins because they haven't been my Dolphins since Marino's ripped his Achilles. And one of the flat-out rivals of Miami was New York, the Jets. Didn't care for Gastineau and the mullet. I didn't like Ken O'Brien going before Marino in the draft, and I really hated it. Salt wound when it came from Elway to Marino, that 30 for 30. But one guy, two guys I like on the Jets, Brett Qualley, Husker offensive lineman's doing well for New York, at least last time I checked, and Quincy Enunwa. As a Nebraska fan, I think you smiled every time Enunwa caught the football and looked for somebody to murder over the middle or gave a hit and got an extra 3 yards. He's just a beast. And he's had a really good career in the NFL. As a sixth-round pick, the Jets have been anemic offensively. Who's their quarterback even? Exactly. Danny just kind of like snarls his lip and is like, why are you asking me? It's not Joe Willie. It's not Dirty. It's not... is it Hackenberg? I don't know. I should probably research who their quarterback is. It ain't Fitz because I didn't want to pay him. So I'm talking about Quincy Enunwa because his season is over. This from USA Today. Lee Barfnick retweeted this. And the Jets, they're just brutal at wideout. Okay. Todd Bowles is like, it's defense. It'll score and win anyway. But what you have is this. Quincy has a bulging disc in his neck. Going to miss the entire season. That news today. The ailment will require surgery and is a 6 to 9 month rehab phase. The good news is it's not career threatening or career ending. So Enunwa got the injury Saturday at practice. And he also missed time recovering from a neck injury similar to this new one. Do you know anybody who's had neck surgery or disc surgery? I mean, the fusion is a good thing short term. But long term, anytime your back is worked on, it's just not a good thing. I mean, some people are okay with it, but if you're trying to play ball, it ain't good. Peyton had 4 neck surgeries. This is an example I have. So the thing about Enunwa, 3-year vet, I mean, he led the Jets last year. Think about that, man. When's the last time a wideout from Nebraska almost led an NFL team in receiving, not named Irving Fryer? Exactly. Hasn't happened. And he was looking up. Did you not like seeing him go in motion or in the slot and catching the ball? This is tough. I hope he bounces back. There's no Brandon Marshall. There's no Eric Decker. I mean, Robbie Anderson, come on down. You're up. So best wishes to Quincy Enunwa in his recovery. And hopefully he'll find the rehab and treatment good. And he'll be back good as new. Because let's be honest. Maybe you have the Sunday ticket. Maybe there's a Jets fan in your family with the Johnny Mitchell jersey. But other than that, there's no reason to watch these guys. Aside from Qualley and Enunwa, if you're a Nebraska fan. Now there's minimal. So we'll see if Enunwa bounces back. Interested to see how things continue for Jordan Westerkamp. Still in Miami camp, as far as I know. Got himself a new quarterback in Jay Cutler. And there's a smirk on producer Danny's face with this because he's a Chicago guy. just like Greg Smith. And if you're like me, you know a number of Bears or Denver fans. And I don't want him, you take him. It's kind of been the career thing. Fox wanted him. Per Danny's report to me, I think the Cutler was going to make $450 for Fox, which is sweet. That buys a lot of Marlboro cartons for him. But he's going to make $10 million. Is that guaranteed? Is all 10 guaranteed? My God, all 10 is guaranteed. Whatever it takes. But you'll hear from Jay Cutler shortly. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800, 825-5865 can tap the line. Chillingbridge Court can tap house. Let's spend a couple more seconds here on Nebraska wide receivers. Of the guys the last 5 years, who did you think was going to have the best NFL career? And Westy still has time. He's just slow out of the gate because of the injury. Kenny is on Baltimore's squad trying to make the squad, but was in Tampa and had an injury to the hammy his rookie year. Didn't make it last year. Tampa cut him, but Baltimore picked him up. So you have Westy, you have Kenny, you have Anunua. Didn't we all think Jamal Turner was going to be incredible? Just Deshaun Jackson-esque. That's a stretch, I'm sorry, but the spring game looked good. But Anunua is one of those guys, and you know who's underrated, like, in the history of Nebraska football as a recruiter? And he was recruiting coordinator for a while. He's at Wisconsin now. It seems like he is the king of all under-the-radar dudes. The Professor Ted Gilmore. He's on Coach Barnett's staff. We might have Barney on Wednesday, on Thursday. And then Callahan hired him, and then he stayed. And then he was at Nebraska for a while, and then Fisher came in from the Golf Academy or whatever. And I'm sure Fisher was a good dude. But Ted was good enough to go get hired at SC for a year. And then go to Oakland for a while. Now he's at Wisconsin. But Ted Gilmore saw something in Kenny Bell and Quincy Anunua that not a lot of dudes did, and it worked out fantastically for those guys in their careers at Nebraska. Best to Quincy Anunua. He's out for the year with that neck disc injury, but it's not career threatening. We'll wind down hour one. We may get into some college football cheating. The programs know they are actively cheating, or is it just an accident? My fault. Good story by Dennis Dodd. Charlie McBride is 15 minutes away. Greg Smith, next hour. Hail Varsity Radio continues.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time this hour, Blackshirt Charlie McBride. Mondays with Charlie shortly. We'll talk to him about chemistry and leadership, all that good stuff. Greg Smith, before he goes to Bruno Mars, will tell us about Cam Brown and recruiting. Rick will tell you about Pure Grown Diamonds when you find your way to Sauter Hayman. Nebraska's exclusive dealer of Pure Grown Diamonds is Sauter Hayman, 100% real diamonds that are grown in a lab instead of mined from the earth. And, you know, when we talk being exclusive, it's no joke, and that's what Pure Grown Diamonds thinks of Sauter Hayman, and it's what you'll think of Sauter Hayman and Pure Grown Diamonds when you see them. You'll be overwhelmed and wowed by their beauty and by their affordability, 10 to 40% less than traditional earth-mined diamonds. Also eco-friendly. Come see why Pure Grown Diamonds are some of the biggest, some of the best sellers in Sauter Hayman history. And can stop by 12th and O downtown before you go see Bruno. Can go to South Point Pavilion if you're not going to Bruno. Or Grand Island, out west. Our friends out west in Grand Island. Log on today, SauterHayman.com. Hale.com. Maybe you got a birthday, or she's got a birthday, or an anniversary, or just it's time to do right. And ask her. SauterHayman.com. We'll give you a chance at some Rib Fest tickets shortly. Next hour, Salt Dog VIP tickets. And they got a Husker Legends event coming up end of August at Haymarket during a Salt Dogs game. The three Heisman winners going to be on hand. That'll be pretty sweet. I don't know if anyone's throwing old Johnny Rogers a curveball, but I would pay to see him try and hit. I think crowd should be okay. If Johnny hits it on the ground, he'll beat it out at first. A la Willie Mays Hayes. Ron Harper, one of my favorite Bulls. I didn't like him as much when he was with Cleveland because the Cleveland teams, well, they threatened Chicago. But Ron Harper, and this from the Akron Beacon Journal on Kyrie Williams. Harper was a multiple-time All-Star with Cleveland, took a reduced role once he neared that 30 to 32 age range to be the point guard, and he went from scoring 22 a night to probably 8 to 10 and dishing assists, and then he had Kerr as a backup to him. Well, this is his take on Kyrie. Youth, ignorance. It's always going to be a two- or three-star team. You're never going to be a guy who carries your team. You see, when LeBron doesn't play, you don't carry the team. It's never your team. You play for the front on your jersey, not the back of it. So the who you play for, the name on the front or the name on the back. I don't know that Kyrie, listen, the guy wants out, he wants out. I think he's just unhappy. And it isn't about touches or shots, because he's carried him for some 40-point performances to get him a ring. I think if you talk to people off the record, LeBron is insanely difficult to be with. Period. Charlie McBride, Mr. Blackshirt. Mondays with Charlie. He's next.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Hour two, it is that time, Mondays with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, legendary coach, and brought to you by Emeritus. No one likes to be distracted during the game. If you find yourself preoccupied by financial concerns, Emeritus can and will help you find focus and also protect your loved ones with disability insurance, life insurance, and investment planning. Also protecting your employees with retirement, dental, vision, and hearing plans, keeping their promises, Emeritus for 130 years and counting, and giving you peace of mind. Proud to stand with the Huskers, proud to stand and bring you Coach Charlie McBride. Coach, how many fish have you caught?
None.
Really? None today?
No, I've been practicing my painting.
Hold out of it. So
yeah,
when I...
Oh, and I spent about the last hour and a half I've been... I had talked with Chad Kelsey, and I just hung up with Steve Warren, and Steve had his first day of practice, and, you know, I asked him how many small crises did he have today. He said, just one. He said, learning the kids, new players out for the team, he says, the hardest thing he has to do. Mm-hmm. He said he doesn't know about three-quarters of the team yet.
Sure. Steve's done an amazing job. We love catching up with him and in his program at Northwestern, what he's doing with the Warren Academy. And you mentioned you got a hold of Kelsey, which was pretty awesome. And that's fantastic. Yeah. So this time of year, do you just hear in droves from guys that have gotten into coaching?
Well, you know, Steve calls kind of, you know, probably every 3 months or so, and then if he gets mad, I just tell him to call me, and you can start yelling and screaming at me. What's different? I did it to you first. you can't punch me, but I'm not close enough. But you know, I tell you, those kids, you love them. They don't forget, and you know, I just happy as heck. And I wish I was around to watch their families grow up, because I was around when their kids were just being born and everything. And we spent a lot of time with Steve when he was out here in that, what do they call it, the football inside, the, you know, where he played a year or so with the Wranglers out here. And but, you know, I know he's started out and kept at that program, and he's got a lot of the guys that played with him and, you know, that kids have respect for, and that's a big plus.
Well, he's done such a great job of training kids, too. It's great. Coach Charlie McBride with us, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, I got to ask you, do you remember any, dare I say, pleasant Augusts in your time? Because the last week of weather, about 5 days now, 4 or 5 days, it's been about 75 in Oregon, here in eastern Nebraska, 75, minimal humidity, veil-type weather. Now, that'll change. I've jinxed everything. But most of the time, August is supposed to be hot and muggy and just uncomfortable. How would you deal with it if it's nice out? It's supposed to be toughening your guys up.
You just thank God that it's happening to you. But we spent years. One year we had, I don't know how many days, up 107.
Jeez.
You know, and plus. And, I mean, it was where we could hardly – we had 2-a-days then, of course. And it was the players really did push themselves. And you kind of worried, you know, a couple of times we had guys getting IVs in the training room. And, you know, you wonder sometimes if it's all worth it. And now with the indoor facilities, though, I think, you know, in most cases, I think you can at least go in and be reasonable. But I know one thing. When we had games with Arizona State and some of those teams, we didn't back off playing and practicing in the heat. And the humidity adds to the heat, really. If it's just hot, it's hot. But I've been in the huddle at Arizona State when it's 103, 104, and there's nobody sweating. It's so dry.
Sure.
I mean, it's crazy, you know. I'm from Chicago, and at every time that, you know, it got that hot, we would all walk outside. You needed to take a shower, about 10 minutes later. So, but I think that, you know, that when the weather is a factor, and they're going to get it. It's not going to slow up. They're going to get some weather, too. But I think you don't shy away from it, especially with the early games, and you keep them hydrated and keep trucking.
Charlie McBride's with us, Hale Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, I wanted to spend a few minutes talking chemistry and leadership, and Coach Riley spent a little bit of time talking about the where he wants the program to be, and it was – long story short, a transfer of ownership, really. It's his team. Yeah, he's the head coach, but he wants guys and examples like Chris Weber or Diedrich Young, or, you know, pick a senior that does the right things all the time to be that shining example. That's a great idea, but more times than not, it takes a while to get that culture
right
embedded in your program. But once you have it, it's phenomenal. How did you go about chemistry and leadership training for guys? You can talk to them, but eventually they got to get it, right?
Yeah, I think each class is kind of, even though they're all together as one group, but each class is kind of has their own leaders, and they have their kind of behind-the-door leadership. They have some pride on the guys they came into school with, and that stuff is really, really important that people don't really see, and how they really stick up for each other, and it's a special group. You know, you feel like you came in with a bunch of guys that are special, and, you know, and that's one of the things you promote. The other thing is we try to get in the locker rooms after practice, you know, and kind of sit down with the kids on the bench and just, how you doing, how things go today and stuff like that with, you know, not necessarily your players because you were with them. But, for example, a lot of the young freshman kids, you know, always keep up with them. And because there are some of them that are, you know, thinking about home and thinking about, did I make the right decision? And, you know, things always don't go perfect for, you know, it's always great. So they kind of got to hang on each other you know, we made it a point to get into the, you know, the locker room, if you've been with it just for 5 or 10 minutes, just go around and see how things are going. And I think they felt comfortable and they felt good about it, that, you know, that we were interested in all that they were doing.
How often were young guys given a voice in the locker room? Was that something that guys had to eventually earn? Or
yeah.
Was it okay? Because now it sounds like there's younger guys that have a chance to share their opinion.
I mean, oh, shoot, that's good. I mean, you know, and I think the older guys respect it. And, you know, at first sometimes there may be a few guys that say, what's he talking about? He's just a sophomore,
sure.
This and that. And, you know, the other thing. But that stuff, when you prove that who you are, then you have a voice. I mean, you know, that, you know, we had Broderick Thomas used to always just talk and talk and talk and, you know, and everything, but not one player ever flinched, because they knew that he could what he said he could do, you know, and that's important. You know, I think that the respect, if you show your respect on the field and that you're a good person and things like that, a senior could follow a freshman as easy as anything, you know, and they'll never admit it, you know, because they're seniors. But the upperclassmen sometimes will really, you know, listen when younger players talk, because a lot of times they're very productive in what they're saying.
Charlie McBride's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, how often did you see that crossover between talent and leadership? And that's something that Riley spoke about, that it doesn't always happen, where the most talented guy is also your leader. The talent mm-hmm. can cloud the leadership. Do you think he's right with that?
Yeah, I think a lot of times, you know, that's kind of what I was talking about.
Right.
You know, that leaders, a lot of kids are, I think what happens, you get a lot of quiet guys that become leaders,
mm-hmm.
and they kind of just wait their time. You know, they could have been doing something maybe a year before, but they felt that it wasn't their place to do it. That's good. That's nothing wrong with that. And I don't think you push a kid into being a leader. You can talk to them about this group. You have leaders in this group, and they'll get the idea. You know, I think sometimes you point out you should be a leader in front of everybody. Maybe isn't the best way to go about it. And I think it should come natural. And, you know, sometimes we've gone through teams where we're worried about a little bit about our leadership. And the teams that you go back and all the great teams that we had, and we had some good ones, that there was almost a leader in every position. I mean, it was kind of, you know, they all took, the, you know, stock in their own positions. And but you had the captains who were good and stuff like that. And, you know, some were vocal, some weren't. And everybody has a different way of doing things.
Is too much made out of the, you got to have a vocal leader? Is that too much? Is too much hype surrounding that?
Oh, I don't know.
Depends.
You know, our vocal leader came in, I think, probably when they were in the locker room before they came on the field before games.
You're okay.
Christian was a good one. You could hear through the door, and all Coach Osborne did was shake his head. Oh, here we go, you know. But
What'd you do?
I stood next to him and just felt like laughing. But I never did. But, you know, Christian was a guy that was a forcible leader. I mean, he was a guy that, you better do it, buddy, or it's going to be a war or something, mm-hmm. you know. It was a little different kind of a leadership, but you know, they all. I mean, he was a leader. You know, he was probably as good a leader as I've been around. As far as, you know, everything he said he meant, and he played every second. But that's what I say. You know, if you're going to be a leader, you better get out in the field and you better do what you say or do what you're hollering about. And those sometimes are the guys, and the guy, there's quiet leaders. I played with a guy named Joe Romick, made every All-American team in the country, every first team, every one of them. He was a Rhodes Scholar, and he just, I mean, we went out, we're losing 19-0 to Kansas. We've got the whole quarter to go, fourth quarter, and he gets us all in the huddle out in the field and said, we're going to win this game. That's all he said. We ended up winning 21-19. And so, you know, that's a different leadership, but we all just said, Joe said, we're going to win, we're going to go win, and we did. And that, so it's so different. When you play, you see leaders, and when you coach, you see how different kids react to different leaders. And it that is a chemistry that you can't go say, this is what's going to happen as a coach. It has to develop through the ranks. And, you know, that's an exciting time, too, to find out who's, you know, how it's going to all fit together.
Well, it's important, and it's better, like you said, that it's got to form. You can give it direction as they grow up, but eventually they got to take it over. And it's an interesting dynamic. I mean, it just is this time of year. You're waiting till kickoff, so everything under the sun's dissected, and that's just kind of what we do. But it is important because when Nebraska's been great, it's been that chemistry, Coach.
Well, I talked to a pro scout last night. And he called, and actually he played at Michigan State. Mm-hmm. And his dad is a very, very close friend of mine. He was the head coach there at one time, and he's captain of scout Nebraska the last I guess week or so, this week maybe it was early. And he didn't see a whole lot. He said, you know, that he didn't know he was an offensive line coach by trade. And he coached in the NFL, and he coached in Canada, and he was actually up at South Dakota for a while with Craig Bowl, but he kind of didn't seem real excited about, you know, what he thought Nebraska was going to be, and I think when you see that a little bit, he doesn't know the team. They go in there one day, they don't know. They're looking at one kid or two kids, mm-hmm. and that's about it. And so, but those are the things you listen to a little bit. And the thing that I like to hear a little bit of that sometimes, it's not all just roses.
Sure.
Is to see what his opinion might be as to what it really is. Mm. Because there's not a coach right now that know what it really is team.
Right.
And so, even with that pro scout coming in, you know, some of those guys, they're supposed to pick out the best this and the best that and everything. And I know guys that don't even work at it. This guy does. But, I mean, they come in and sit around and they talk to each other. And one guy will get all his information from another scout.
Sure.
You know, it's kind of a mixed bag. Some guys are unbelievable workers and stuff like that, and some guys are just hanging on. And sometimes that could be your football team, too.
Sure, absolutely. Charlie McBride's with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, we'll catch up next Monday, and we'll talk fishing and weather and football. How's that?
You're going to make me feel bad.
That's okay.
I can't even believe it. And the fishing here, I just I go paint.
Well, we'll talk painting too.
No, but I'm having a good time.
Coach, thanks so much.
Okay, guys, talk to you next week.
There he is.
Bye now.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Once again, Greg Smith joins us to talk some recruiting, and this is exclusive. This is before Bruno Mars hangs out with Greg Smith. Mr. Greg, how are you, sir?
I'm excellent, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. I don't know who's better, you, Bruno, or Coach Dub, to be honest.
I mean, we're all feeling pretty good right now.
I would bet. So let's get into it. Nice story. HailVarsity.com is where you log on and read the reaction and thoughts from Greg Smith on wideout Cam Brown, another St. Louis product. Greg, what are your thoughts here and your reaction from a recruiting standpoint? Kind of translate this for us, if you could. It's another wideout. It's another position need. But let's talk bigger picture here, what it says about Nebraska.
Yeah, big picture, it speaks volumes about Nebraska and their ability to connect with kids and really not burn bridges. Because, you know, it would have been easy for Nebraska when Cameron Brown initially committed to Nebraska a few months ago and then decommitted from them a couple of weeks later. It would have been easy for them, Keith Williams, Mike Riley, to kind of burn the bridge and say, you know, see you later and move on to other targets, considering there's plenty of other targets out there at the wide receiver position that Keith Williams is in on. But I think Nebraska recognized a couple of things. One, that Cameron Brown's a really good player. Like, they were in on him pretty early before his recruitment started to really blow up. He's about 6 foot, 170, 175, speedy player out of St. Louis. And those are the types of players that you need in this offense, versatile wide receiver. But also, big picture-wise on this one, don't forget that he goes to Christian Brothers College High School, same high school as Trey Bryant, also same high school as a current prospect that Nebraska is really looking at, and Cameron Babb, who actually was in Cam Brown's recruitment video. If you notice the kid that's standing in the Nebraska shirt that he did not shoot with the paintball gun, that was Cam Brown, kid that Nebraska's really after. So, I mean, it's smart business all around, but first and foremost, they're getting themselves a good ball player in Cameron Brown.
And Greg Smith is with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine recruiting analyst. Can find Greg on Twitter at GregSmithHV. And you read his story, his reaction on Cam Brown's commitment to Nebraska. Okay, now that being said here with Brown, what do you like about him? Talk about his size, his attributes, and how he fits.
Yeah, first things first, the speed jumps out to you. I mean, he ran a 4.51 laser time 40 at Nike's opening camp that they have. You can, when you pop his film on, you notice right away that he's getting behind the defense. He's making guys miss. There's guys just can't keep up with him. But the other thing that you really notice is that he's got the little nuances of the position down as well. Like, he's getting open consistently at the high school level. A guy with that speed and that ability to run a route to the high school level is just always going to be open. And that's something that's extremely attractive to Nebraska because, like Coach Dubb mentioned last week, is don't look at these body types and stereotype them for Nebraska and think, hey, he's 6 foot, about 170, 175. He's just going to automatically be a slot guy. They've told him that they will move him all around the field to continue to get him ready to, you know, pursue his dream for the NFL, but also to help Nebraska in the future. And he'll also be able to get a shot at being a return man as well here.
What's next for Nebraska? Any more St. Louis / Missouri targets? And kind of sum up the board, if you can, for the class of 2018. What's needed? What's next? What's likely?
Yeah, you know, as far as Nebraska goes in Missouri, I think the next man up, so to speak, not necessarily at the wide receiver position, Daniel Carson, big defensive end prospect out of Missouri, about 6'5", 245, really solid-looking player. Nebraska made up a lot of ground on him when he was in for that first Friday Night Lights camp. So that'll be a big deal if Nebraska can secure his commitment, because that's probably the only defensive end that they're really looking at. So they definitely want to go ahead and lock that down. As far as what's next for the receiver position, this is where it gets fun, ladies and gentlemen, because when you already have three four-star wide receivers in your class and you're probably looking to take another, you can A, get very selective with the types of wide receivers that you're looking at. So if Nebraska decides that they want a bigger body wide receiver, they can try to narrow it down that way. Or if what I think is going to end up happening is that Nebraska is going to go what I call big game hunting, and they're going to go after some really big names. First and foremost, I guess right at the top of the list of receivers around the country, Jalen Hall, 6'3" wide receiver out of California. If you remember last year, he went to Augustus Hawkins High School with Joseph Lewis, who Nebraska was hot and heavy on to the very end. He's one of the top wide receivers in the nation. You look at Brian Hightower, who's committed down to to Miami. Cameron Babb, who we mentioned earlier, Cam Brown's teammate. Like, there's a host of four-star receivers and even a couple of five-stars in Jaylen Brown's case that Nebraska will be in on, and they have the luxury of doing that when you already have three four-stars committed in your wide receiver group.
The answer is yes. Who would you take? That said, Greg, if you had to just, well, if you're just going to take one, who do you take? Not Coach Dubb, but who does Greg Smith take?
Oh, man, that puts you on the spot, because can I give you three?
You can say yes. That's fine,
yes,
too.
Yes is the answer here, because Jalen Hall is going to be a great college wide receiver. I think Cameron Babb out of St. Louis will also be a great college wide receiver. And a guy to keep an eye on, which we have not heard a lot about, who is probably the number one wide receiver in the country, period, Amon-Ra St. Brown, who is thought at this point to be an Ohio State lean. But what happens when you can put the full court press on a guy? I know from talking to people that Coach Dove has been in contact with him fairly often. It just is not really out there a lot. That's a guy that I'd keep an eye on as well, because you can narrow it down when you really have the luxury of going hardcore after one guy. So the answer is yes. But out of that group, I would think that Jalen Hall, actually the five-star out of California, is the best bet.
A few more minutes. Greg Smith with us. Hail Varsity Radio at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. We're talking recruiting. Nebraska getting commit number 11 for the 2018 class. Cam Brown is in at wide receiver, and Greg's got a great write-up on Cam Brown, what he can do for Nebraska, and the impact of getting a wideout like that into Lincoln. So, Greg, a couple of last thoughts here on recruiting. I know you touched on Daniel Carson, defensive end. Give me an O-line update, if you could, as far as where Nebraska's at, and just, you know, guesstimate how many spots are left, and if you were to fill those spots up, what positions are in front of the line, so to speak, priority-wise?
Yeah, I think that I'll start with the offensive line portion of that. You know, strangely, the well has kind of dried up there. I had an interview with a guy, Kay Beresford, out of Washington, who's new to playing offensive tackle. He was playing quarterback. He just kind of kept growing. But that's actually a good thing, considering that tackle position in college has gone to a lot of guys in that type of situation where their feet are still pretty good, and they end up being true tackles where they can play tackle in college. There's a couple of junior college offensive linemen at Nebraska is looking at, but honestly at this point it's really tough because they've got to get a lot of those guys on campus to be able to have a really good shot at them, and I wouldn't be surprised if some new names in the senior evaluation really come up with Nebraska for that offensive line. As far as other positions that are at the front of the line, defensive back is still going to be a spot that Nebraska is heavily recruiting. You look for a guy like Christian Tutt, who's Nebraska's had on campus, who's locked in an official visit to Nebraska. Unclear of the date yet, but he's a guy that's probably on commit watch if and when he does go ahead and take his official visit. And then a guy that we've talked about a lot around these parts, Houston Griffith, BTN analyst Howard Griffith's son. That's a guy that they'll really continue to be after as well, because I think they'll still take two defensive backs in this class, or two more defensive backs in this class, to add to what's already an impressive haul so far.
Okay, you've nailed the recruiting portion of the show. Greg Smith, HailVarsity.com, at Greg Smith HV, and you're going to Bruno Mars tonight. What is the encore song? Does he do one? Does he do two? What is the encore song?
Oh, man, that's going to be tough on this. That was really easy on the last tour. Gorilla was definitely going to be that on the last tour, and it was. I'm going to go with Versace on the Floor with the encore song on this one, but I can't wait to see what it is. Bruno's my guy.
Okay. I didn't tell you this, but the wife and kid, mine, are meeting you shortly. So thanks. I said, go see Uncle Greg. And actually, I didn't do that. That wouldn't have been very nice.
It would have been funny, though, if they had just rolled up to me and put their hand out for their ticket.
And I can see the look. You'd smile for a second and then say, okay, yeah, you'll see that guy over there. You know, the guy holding up the need to, right?
And then I just quickly scurry away. I can see that.
Yeah, you scamper
that
into the back.
Sounds like something I would do.
Well, it's all right. Okay, Greg Smith with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine. Greg, great work. Nice story. Thanks for the time. And expect lots of pictures via Twitter of Bruno tonight, all right?
Hey, thanks for having me, man. And yes, I will definitely be sending those out.
Good enough, my man. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks, man.
Take care, bro. See you. All right, there he is, Greg Smith, and recruiting with Hail Varsity at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. We'll dive into Jay Cutler. Some of his incentives are, well, quite overwhelming. A native Chicagoland member, Danny Burke, producer of the show, will, I don't know. This might be hard for him. This took years of therapy to get over being a Bears/Cutler guy, and now he's heaped it onto us Dolphin fans, even though we're not real active Dolphin fans. Dennis Dodd, we'll get caught up with him tomorrow. How many programs cheat? Are they accidents, or are they... We're going to get popped anyway. Might as well go big. Pretty interesting. All right. You want to get locked in on recruiting? You want to get the latest? How about a six-month online subscription for you to HailVarsity.com? Caller 4, caller 5. Right now, an online subscription to HailVarsity.com, the ultimate online fan experience. Great coverage in Nebraska athletics. A lot of stuff on volleyball. Great recruiting, football. Message board you want to be a part of, premium content, video recaps, inside info, recruiting analysis, caller 4. Caller 5 right now, a 6-month online subscription for you to HailVarsity.com. Caller 4, caller 5, 466-3776, 466-3776, 466-3776 or 800-825-5865. Caller 4, caller 5, makes it happen now.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Thank you, Kramer. Winding through a Monday, it's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Here are the incentives, and Danny helped out with the translation of this. The quarterback of my Dolphins, Jay Cutler, $1 million for playoffs, $1 million extra on top of the 10 for playoff win, $1 million. He finishes in the top 10 in touchdowns. I don't see if Miami gets to recoup $1 million if he finishes in the top 10 in interceptions. I don't see Miami recouping $1 million if they're one of the first teams eliminated from postseason. In the Cutler angle, $1 million arm, or $10 million. But just people swear by him. And I've asked guys who've played with him. Now it's been on an interview, and they're not gonna blast their quarterback. But it's too much made of the body language. We're the king of body language analyzation in the state of Nebraska. Be it basketball or football, we are. And you see Cutler, and you're just turned off. I don't know. I'm going to bring Danny, our Chicagoan, in. Producer Danny, you grew up with this freaking team. Does it drive you batty? He's okay. Or are you it ain't ever going to work because it's not worked so far?
You know, it is tough. It's been tough with Cutler the past, you know, however many years. Probably, I remember.
Unless it's 06, I mean.
Yeah, 06. I remember in middle school, everyone's going crazy about it. We're all excited. Finally, you know, get a big-name quarterback.
Well, the donks trade him to you.
Right. And Bears finally attempted to get a big-name quarterback. You know, they haven't had one pretty much ever. And didn't work out as well. He didn't have the benefit of the doubt for the most part. A lot of people would argue with the coaching staff switching a lot and having to deal with all of that. But, you know, Chicago's a tough place to play. You have a lot of high expectations. And he didn't deliver for the most part. But I think it would just, in spite of Chicago, I feel like he's going to do pretty well in Miami. And that's just what's going to happen to the Bears. I can see that happening to us.
I mean, Denver drafted him, then they traded him to Chicago, and I don't know. He is from Santa Claus, Indiana. Never been. But 11th pick overall, 06, and he's got the talent, and I know there are shoulder issues, but here is Cutler, cut 10. He's talking Miami roster, and I think he's had a run-in with Sue, or Sue tried to murder him at one point, but here's Cutler on that Finns roster.
A young team, you know, I think mixed in with some really good vets, you know, playoff team from last year. It's got a lot of dudes. I mean, the offensive side, you got a lot of guys that can make some plays from the backfield, wide receiver, tight ends, offensive line. You know, they lost Teddy, you know, last week, so that's going to hurt a little bit, but it's a very, very talented roster.
You know, and he had to weigh this. Was the decision, was it difficult?
It was definitely hard.
Okay. Thank you, Jay. And that's what I'm used to with Cutler. Quick, short, little, there you go. What had he been doing up to this point, aside from getting used to makeup and the teleprompter, cut 12? I mean, there was the infamous dad bod pick. And he plays quarterback, so if his offensive line's garbage, he's a dead man. That's a fact. I don't know how great a shape he's in, but what's he been doing up to this point?
Like you said, the last 4 months, I've been in a different mode, different mindset, getting ready for the Fox deal. And it was really, you know, pretty good with where I was in my life. You know, I was around the kids a lot and, you know, felt pretty content. So weighed back and forth on this. I mean, I'd probably say my wife, Kristen, probably talked me into it more than anybody else could.
Okay. Agent? No. Finns? No. Sue? No. Who?
Probably say my wife, Kristen, probably talked me into it more than anybody else could.
That means she doesn't want you around. That's presumptuous. But if my wife's really sick of me, she's probably praying for a phone call from Iowa Russ or Pharmacist Jeff or some of my buddies. Let's go get a beer. Fine, leave me alone. Get out of my hair. Oh, he's out of my hair for an entire fall again, and we get $10 million plus incentives of $3 million? Deal. Oh, and we get to go to South Beach? Deal, deal. She's excited about it. Now, cut 14 here. How is the Cutler's shoulder? That was a question. He was unsigned. And, you know, Tannehill wasn't a huge fan of, but their offense was getting better. Jay Ajayi was pretty money for him. Stills was a nice pickup when he decided to kick it into gear. But how's his health?
It's good. I mean, in December, I mean, by March, I was cleared on that one. So, you know, I'm a little bit behind these guys. I mean, they've been going through training camp and stuff like that. So I'm not quite there yet, but it won't take me long.
A underachieving team and an underachieving quarterback. This has got to be a perfect match. Cutler and Snowflake and the Fish.
A situation like this, I mean, just doesn't come along very often. I mean, I know Adam very well. I've known him since 06, the first year I came out. I know the system. You know, you're talking about a playoff team with a lot of really, really good football players, a lot of potential. So it's one of those things that there weren't a lot of opportunities or jobs out there. If they would have came up, I would have taken. But this has got to be the top of the list.
Well, it's a good thing there wasn't a line of people to make you consider it. It was a dolphin, not a porpoise, a dolphin. And that's what I get to watch this fall. Hopefully handing off to Jay Ajayi. And hopefully seeing Sue. destroy people. I'm still, I kind of like the former teal aqua jerseys. This new whatever the heck it is isn't doing it for me. This lighter, more glow-in-the-dark teal that Miami rocks, and the new snowflake, the dolphin on the side of the helmet, I can't deal with. And it's going to be worse with number six behind center. Danny is smiling, and he's doing this. He's washing his hands. So you got to be excited about Trubisky, right?
You know, I was a fan of the pick. Most people, they were hating on it.
Freaked?
Yeah, I mean, he went to a Bulls game a couple days after, and apparently the whole arena was just booing him, and I wasn't a big fan
of it. That was just the Bulls.
Right, yeah. You know, they got to take out the frustration on someone, but I'm excited for him. Hopefully he'll get a couple of opportunities, more than that, this season, so we'll see if him and Mike Lennon can battle out for the starting position.
There he is, Danny Burke, Bears fan, and the voice of reason with Cutler. I will say goodbye next, a Monday edition of Hail Varsity Radio. Winding down, we have some goodies to give away next segment. Keep your ears on for that. Hail Varsity continues.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time on a Monday. Tomorrow on the program, Mitch Sherman, Rick Pizzo, maybe a Dennis Dodd sighting. Chris Schmidt, Danny Burke, producing, engineering, in the authority on Chicago. If you're going to Bruno, enjoy. Please enjoy. Wanted to do this show. Really did. Wanted to go check him out. But I am not. I will take Greg Smith's advice and feedback on that. Be sure to read his work tonight on Cam Brown, HailVarsity.com. A 30-day free trial offer right now. You sign up, HailVarsity.com. Subscribe for your recruiting needs. That is what's suggested reading tonight. Not sure what I'll do tonight. I'm going to stay at my brother's in Omaha again tonight. Just crash into his place. I mean, freaking moved in, it seems like. It feels like. And Danny, we were talking like before the show. What's the documentary HBO stuff I was watching last night?
The Defiant Ones.
Right. I loved it. And I'm mooching HBO and a free bed. And it was great. It's on Dr. Dre and NWA. That also the rock producer slash business guy who all he did was find and make hits from a classic rock standpoint. Pretty good. I liked it. Okay, so what do we got to give away here?
Well, we got a 4-pack of Salt Dogs VIP tickets for this Thursday. They will be playing the Sioux City Explorers. And also, we got a pair of Ribfest tickets, which will be from August 17th through the 19th.
Ribfest is tasty. And Thursday baseball at Haymarket's awesome, especially with the weather forecast this week if you're going to be in Lincoln. Caller 4, caller 5 right now. Caller 4 gets a Salt Dog ticket, a 4-pack VIP tickets yours. Caller 4, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Caller 4, a 4-pack of Salt Dog tickets for Thursday. I think we're going to run down Charlie Meyer this week. A great event coming up at Haymarket with the legends of Nebraska football, the three Heisman winners end of this month. Caller 5 gets the Ribfest tickets. Pair of those. You want some pulled pork? Don't want to make it? I get it. Want some ribs? All good. You a brisket guy? Totally get it. Caller 5 gets the pair of Ribfest tickets. Caller 4, VIP seats at Haymarket for the Salt Dogs Thursday. Caller 5, VIP seats are caller 4. And pair of Ribfest tickets, caller 5. Caller 4, caller 5, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Okay. And good luck, God bless on that. Danny will get your name, number, and all that good stuff down. We'll give you a chance tomorrow for a 6-month online subscription. We'll have more Nebraska football talk as the defense and Coach Diaco are going to spend time after practice tomorrow. Thursday's an open practice in the offense. And then Riley on Saturday as we maneuver through August. Thanks for your time. Thanks for tuning in. You miss any part of Hail Varsity Radio, take us with. You might have a playlist. We'll try our podcast. HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or just subscribe for free to iTunes and take Hail Varsity Radio with you. For Danny Burke, Chris Schmidt, we'll talk to you tomorrow at 4 on Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Have a good one.